I couldn't see your good looking face there, Glenn. Don't know either. Something about that, it does get in your way, you can't see a thing. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. A wee bit of order, please. Okay, can we have a bit of order in the chamber, please? Get everybody settled, please. And can you all have your microphones off, please? Okay. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly, both in the chamber and at home. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussions on that item has ended. Thank you. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded and video recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed, so please use the chat facility. I remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q. Yeah, can everybody hear me at home? Okay. I remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q. Q, 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 Q. Type Q. If you wish to ask a question, or C for a comment, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Have we any apologies? No apologies tonight, okay. Okay, I move on straight then to declarations of interest. Any declarations of interest?
None, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, I haven't been on my computer just yet, if that's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
It's just regarding the SLAs at ERT. I'm on the board of Mourne Heritage Trust.
Okay. Any others? No.
I'm on the board of Mourne Heritage Trust here. Laura's on it. I'm on it.
Okay. Duly noted.
Chair, Willie Clark, I work for Mourne Heritage Trust, but it's a different funding package.
Okay. Anybody else? No. Okay. Item number 3 is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 6th of February. Just before we go there, an emergency motion has been received from Councillor King, seconded by Councillor Hart. If the motion is to be heard, it would be necessary to suspend standing orders, which requires a qualified majority vote, which is not less than 80% of members present and voting.
Can you do that?
Chair, we've just received it and we're just circulating it, so we are.
Just received.
Yeah, it'll not be to the very end of the meeting, and we've taken the vote in relation to suspend standing orders before we would either hear it or not hear it. So you should all have received the wording. Okay. It's literally just been sent, so. Okay, we'll deal with that. It'll be the last item on the agenda this evening. Just letting you know that it's come in. And I'm as a result, we're prepared to take the vote on suspension of standing orders. We look at item number three then, the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on... from the 6th of February. We'll go through it for action. Number page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Any matters of reckoning? Somebody proposing second for accuracy? Where's my chat? Proposed for Councillor Sharvin, second by Councillor Andrews. Any matters arising? No. No matters arising? Okay. Item number 4, the minutes of the council meeting held on the 6th of February 2023. Go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, page 16, page 17, page 18. The proposer and seconder for item 4, please, for accuracy. Proposed by Councillor Brennan. You the seconder, please. Seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Thank you. Any matters arising? No. Okay. Move on to item number 5, which are the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 30th of January 2023. We'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2. Can the proposer and seconder, please, for item 5. Councillor Andrews, Councillor Gallagher, thank you. Any matters arising? Okay. Item number 6. Apologies, there were an extra 2 pages there. We had the 3 pages there, Northern Ireland Water. Can I propose and second for those as well, please? Councillor Stokes.
Right, Chair, I wasn't at that meeting. I moved on to item 6 already.
It's all proposed, all covered. That's all right. Sorry. Item number 6 is the ERT meeting held on the 13th of February, the 3rd for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. Can a proposer and seconder for accuracy? We have Councillor Stokes and Councillor Hannah. Thank you. Any matters arising from item 6 ERT? No? Okay, move on to item number 7. Which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 16th of February. Through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Can proposer and seconder please? Councillor O'Murray, Councillor Henry, I need a seconder please. Proposed by Councillor Murray. Need a seconder. Councillor McGuinness, thank you. Councillor Riley, you have a question.
Yes, Chairman. Very, very disappointed at the way the DUP request for the Equality Impact Assessment relating to the New Ireland Working Group, or whatever it's called. There's been no serious consideration given at all to the concerns that we had. Just the report being wheeled in and noted. And we are definitely not happy with that, Chairman. And if this is as far as we can go within the Council, we will have to refer it to the Equality Commission. Thank you.
Okay.
Can you speak, Chair? Mm-hmm.
Councillor Devlin.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's just in relation to page 3, the request for the name of the Adams to Castle Island War Memorial. I suppose just a word of thanks to Ali and the legal team within Council. This is a query that came via myself and Councillor Gallagher. It took us a little while to work out where exactly this query had to go, but thankfully we landed back with Council. I suppose as soon as Ali worked out the direction of travel, it got through Council very, very quickly, and the family are very grateful, Chair. So thank you for everyone's help in that regard.
Okay. Any more items? Councillor Sharman.
Yeah, Chair, it's the last item there, the minutes of New City Centre regeneration. Chair, I did raise this at the committee and around the fake news and rumours that are circulating by a political party. And I did ask the Chief Executive at the time to confirm that there would be no impact on the Downshire Civic Centre. Given the development of Newry Civic Centre project, I would, and the reason why I'm bringing it up again is that continues to be spun. I think we as elected representatives need to call out when people are spinning cow dung, in a sense, and that the people outside this chamber know the facts, that what is true, and instead of fear-mongering and people that work in the Downshire who are going home at night thinking, will they have a job here? And will they have a job in the council at all? I would ask any politician and party who truly want to represent Downpatrick DA that they stop spinning false news and actually fight to get more jobs in Downshire Civic Centre and support the council in their projects rather than spinning the stories that they're spinning. Thank you, Chair.
And are you seeking clarification on that?
If the Chief Executive doesn't mind reaffirming that any development of a civic centre or offices in Newry will have no impact on the Downshire site, that would be more than welcome to you, Chair.
Yeah, Chair, happy to confirm that development of the civic centre in Newry won't have an impact on jobs in the Downshire Civic Centre. As I've said previously, it was always a council's decision that there would be two centres. I've done briefings this week with staff in Monaghan Row in particular, because we've plans of this there. And I actually made it very clear in Monaghan Row that there was actually no impact on the jobs in Newry. The jobs in Newry stayed in Newry, and that the jobs in Downpatrick stayed in Downpatrick. That said, I also said that we were open to, if somebody happened to live in a different location, that one of the offices was more accommodating for them, happy to talk to people about that, but that's it. So no impact on jobs.
Okay, thanks for the clarity on that, Marie. Thank you. Much appreciated. Anybody else? No? Okay. We move on to item 8 then, which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee held on the 20th of February. We'll go through the minutes for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Can a proposer and seconder please? Councillor McAteer.
Opposed.
Councillor McKevitt. Okay.
Sorry, Chair, my computer's only starting back there now.
Go ahead, Councillor Gallagher.
Apologies about that. Just on the Active Healthy, I just wanted to bring it back up to we had on the AHC regards to the Open House Programme. Now, I just wanted to clarify, is there a progression with this? I know it was for the heat and warmth over the winter time. I'm just wondering whether it would be possible to look at the option of a kind of a social aspect of a hub rather than the heat and warm for elderly folks who are isolated within the community. Thanks, Chair.
Sure, I'll pick that up with the officers. I know we have done some further engagement work in those particular hubs, and we've brought in different agencies, etc., to give advice and help. So I can certainly pick that up and come back.
Thank you. Okay. Any more comments or questions? Item 8? No? Okay. Move on to item 9. And item 9 is the minutes of the Special Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 1st of February. And let's wait for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3. No, page 2. That's it. Two pages. Proposer and seconder. Councillor McAteer. Sorry, Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor McAteer.
No, Councillor Andrews.
Where?
Councillor McAteer's comment.
Sorry, Councillor McAteer. Yeah, you okay. Proposed Councillor McGuinness, seconded Councillor Andrews. Comment from Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, Chair, yes, it's just on, and we don't have to go into committee on this because I'm not going to speak about anything sensitive, but it's just that part of the report there contains a replacement of the waste fleet management vehicles. And I know I'm a councillor a long time now, and it's been a hell of a long time since I had so many complaints about missed bin collections, brown, black and otherwise. And when I call up, yes, the staff are extremely helpful, but the reality of it is 4 or 5 lorries are broken down at a time, and there are some areas, and
that's on the next agenda.
Sorry, is it not on this one here?
No, it's an item. Oh, that's an item 10. If you want to bring it back in,
okay.
Item 10.
Sorry, I thought it was in this one. Yeah,
we'll bring. You can come back in item 10. Okay. Any more? That was a special meeting.
Sorry.
Any more comments on item 9?
Sustainability.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Item 10. Okay. We'll move on to item 10. Item 10 is the minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 22nd of February. Let's wait for accuracy. Page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Can a proposer and seconder please? Councillor Stokes, Councillor Bowsey. Okay, thank you. Any matters arising? Councillor McAteer,
yeah,
come in this time.
I'm beginning to feel like Cadogan Enright and Henry Riley now. That's not the end. Anyhow, I think you got the gist of what I was saying. But yeah, it's about the replacement vehicles. And just as anyway, because of those particular areas, it was parts of Mayorbridge, Hilltown, Ballyhold area, and parts of the outer land areas were on point. But as I say, unprecedented number of missed bins. And the fact is that you're heading maybe into the second round where they've been missed for the second fortnight. And I'm just wondering, is there any way at all of doing something about this? Because people then fire all sorts of allegations at you that we're left behind rural areas and it's only a rural thing. And, you know, we don't actually see on the information we get out every day, we're not totally familiar where the route begins and the route ends. So it's very hard to give precise information. And I know it would be an awful piece of work probably for the staff to be able to give us that detailed information on a daily basis. But when I saw the item coming up and the fleet, and I know there's pressure on delivery times, but is there anything we can do there to fast forward this, given that we are a rural area and the fact is that if a bin lorry fills up, apparently it has to go to Katy to be emptied in the brown base, and that's, if you're at the end of a run, that's the end of story until at least another couple of weeks, unless it gets filled up again. So a lot of issues there that I do think need addressing. I know they are being addressed, and I appreciate that, but in the meantime, I think we have ask management to have a good serious look at the issues that have raised. You know. Thank you.
Councillor McCabot, are you looking to speak?
Yeah, just on the same item, Chair. I have to agree with Councillor McAteer that the amount of reported bins not been emptied right across the district, particularly around Crotlieve, has increased in the last while. But just on the information that's provided from the team, Andrew, a way back, just before your time, it was agreed through the Neighbourhood Services Committee that information, how it's detailed, would change. And that's some time ago, where we would get the names of those areas or streets that rather than going by round, you know, it's hard to follow. So maybe if that could be followed up soon, but it has been approved by council that would change and the graphic, how we get it out on information. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I know there were issues with round bin breakdowns and that, so maybe you can lighten us.
No, Chair, I'll certainly pick up on what Councillor McKevitt was raising there about the communications and the information dissemination, and also on the issue to do with breakdowns on the brown bin rounds as well, and come back to the members individually.
Chair, could I come in on that too, please?
I'll bring in Councillor McKee first, and Councillor Murray, and I'll bring you in, Glenn, if you... Can you use the chat for me, please, because I'm trying to work on two systems here, and it can be quite difficult. So, Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. On what the last two speakers said, I have the same problem. I've had the same problem for quite a while, and I've spoken to a senior officer in relation to the daily information that we get as councillors, and you see in my area, Kilkeel and wherever, is complete. And then you discover there's various bins, blue or whatever colour, have been left, and we get messages from them, and in one sentence it says complete, and it's not actually complete at all. So I do really believe, and I had spoken to a senior officer about this before, and he said, yes, we'll certainly have a look at it. Now, that's not the case. It'd be nice just to have it. I know it's a bit of work to do, but it'd be much simpler to say, you know, a particular, even take a wide spectrum of streets that haven't been touched, just so we can say that, yeah, it hasn't been collected today, but hopefully Saturday it will be collected, or something like that, in fact. Yeah. But it's important the way it is. It's just not right. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I think I tend to agree with you, Councillor McKee, because it'd be easier for us to put the message out to the local public at the time that it's happened. We're aware that a bin area has been missed, but it will be out by such and such a date. And it gives immediate clarity to the ratepayer and the citizen that when their bill is going to be emptied, instead of uncertainty for a period of time. And if it's a serious breakdown, then we need to communicate that it could be a number of days and to leave the bin out. So I can understand where you're coming from, but I think that's a bit of work in progress we can work through with Andrew in the department, and I'm sure he'll come back to councillors maybe with a bit of an update on that. Okay. Councillor O'Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just on the same issue, I suppose there's the odd bin round South Armagh, very rural area as well, that's lifted, but I have to say that, you know, once they're reported in, we do normally get a message out to say, look, I'll leave them out for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. By and large, they are lifted. So, you know, I think Declan himself admitted at times staff's under pressure, mm-hmm. with human resources and with fleet issues. But just to pay tribute to the bin men that are out there and are doing their very best, that, you know, when it does go well, it goes very well. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Councillor Lee Sardinier.
Thanks, Chair. I know a while back, in Killay, there was an incident with one of the bin lorries sort of like toppled over, and two of the bin operators were hurt. So I hope that they're okay. My question is, in relation to the report, under the commenting section, sometimes it's very hard to decipher what the author is trying to say. Like, is it collected or is it not collected? Or if it's possible, just get like a standardized commenting messaging instead. Great, thanks.
Okay, Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. Just to concur with Councillor McKee, there's a substantial amount of bins missed nearly every week in the Mourne area. And what I was just wondering, fair enough, Andrew, you do usually get some up on the Saturday. You do usually get... Would there be any chance you could give us some sort of a report on the costings? Because to set a bin lorry out on a Saturday, I'm sure it's all overtime, so it's a substantial cost to the council. Is it another question? Just is it simply just breakdowns and lorries? Is the bigger problem that the fleet's just got old? Is that basically what's going on?
Chair, generally it is down to breakdowns. Occasionally there's a shortage of drivers, but not exclusively. It's more to do with breakdowns. And whilst the fleet replacement program has been put into place, and the first half a dozen new refuse collection vehicles have been delivered, that's only 6 out of 30. And, I mean, These vehicles were ordered less than a year ago, and we were told it would take at least 12 months before they started to appear. So the delivery schedules are being updated regularly, and we would expect the next ones to come in the next month or so. But to answer the question, yes, we can have a look at the costings for Saturday collection, which is generally done in overtime.
Okay, thanks, Chair.
Councillor Hunter. Councillor Clark.
Thanks very much, Chair. Just very briefly, same item. It had been proposed at the committee, you know, a number of months ago in regards that we look at an app for residents, you know, when bins are being late or have been collected late and street cleans and that sort of thing. Just maybe an update from Andrew in regards to where we're at in regards to an app, you know, because we need to keep the public informed on what's happening. The second point, the same topic, is in regards to greening of the fleet. You know, there's a huge appetite within the council, both officers and councillors, that we want to lead the way in, you know, renewing the fleet in green technology. There's a great appetite in the public, but I think as a local authority, we should be leading the way and having exemplar projects so other organisations and members of the public can view it. Just maybe to let the council know what progress has been made in that, Andrew. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On the first issue about the app, I will have to come back to the member outside of the meeting on that. I haven't got an up-to-date with me. On the second point about the greening of the fleet, we did report to the committee, to the 22nd of February committee, that we would be bringing forward in the near future business plans, which would include the provision for electric vans, probably in the region of 10 electric vans, which will be the first real batch of electric vehicles that will go through procurement to move us in that direction. The larger vehicles, I think we will see developments in the coming years, which will push us in the direction of hydrogen cell. And that technology is still developing. So we will be starting with the smaller vehicles first and working our way up then to the larger ones.
Thank you. Thanks, Alan.
Okay. No further comments. Okay. Item number 11. Is the planning section local development plan. It's one page for accuracy. Can proposer and seconder, please? Proposer, Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor McAteer. Councillor Murphy, you have a question.
Somebody must be on. Thanks. Thanks, Chair. this is in relation to an issue that I've raised with the planners, and I've also actually gone to the papers about it, and it still hasn't been addressed, so I thought I'd raise it here. And that is the delay in planning decisions, you know, for applications. Particularly the case that I'm speaking about is one that is time-bound with regards to investment. So if the decision isn't made, even though all the information is with the planners, if the decision isn't made, then you could possibly lose the investment, which means that we will lose the opportunity to have communication infrastructure in South Armagh. And that's not acceptable. And I know there's quite a number of other applications in the same boat. You know, so this is something that's, you know, we've raised on numerous occasions with the committee, with planners, to no avail. We've even gone to the papers, you know, so it's something that needs to be dealt with by this council. Thank you.
I'm happy to come in there, Chair. I understand Councillor Murphy's concerns, and there is concerns around the speed in which we are able to reach planning decisions to support economic development across the district. It's something that I place a focus on, and it's something that I think we will continue to place a focus on. There is challenges through the introduction of change over the last 4 to 6 months with the new planning portal, which has proven challenging in both getting decisions uploaded and out on the system and getting consultation responses back. But I'm more than happy to pick up on the particular application that the councillor has mentioned in the meeting this evening, outside the meeting, with a view to progressing that to a decision as soon as we possibly can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Councillor Riley.
Chairman, on the planning issue, I've had a planning applicant who had to get his storm drain report done to fulfill his application. And he got a qualified consultant to do the report. That was sent in, uploaded by our staff onto the portal, and then sent on to NI Water. NI Water have now come back and said, we're not happy with that report. We want to do our own report, and we're going to charge you £2,200. Is that a change in policy that we've been made aware of, Connor, or what's happening there? Because it seems to me NI Water are just out now to try and fleece people for as much cash as they can get out of them.
Chair, to respond, I'm not aware of the application that the councillor has mentioned, and I'm not aware of any change in approach to NI Water and dealing with consultations through the planning process, but I'm more than happy to have a discussion about it outside the committee because I don't want to raise and discuss individual applications in this forum.
Okay, Councillor McAteer, you have a comment?
Yeah, Chair. Yeah, I mean, it's just generally about the progress. We did discuss that at the planning committee, but the further delays in the development plan, really, and this it does give cause for concern, really, drifting on. But we've asked management to help.
That was an in committee item, Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
okay.
People will know. The other day. And there's other staffing issues that I will talk privately to.
Again, that's the committee again. Yeah, if you want to discuss these issues, you have to go into committee. Okay. Councillor Lee Surgeon.
Thank you, Chair. So I had an applicant that contacted me saying that she's been trying to complete this application for 4 years now. She has jumped through every hurdle that the planning service has thrown at her, and now the planner is off sick on long-term sickness. When she spoke to a senior planner, they said...
Yeah. Councillor Surgeon, we can't discuss individual applications in the chamber. Right. What I suggest would be...
Let me rephrase. So my query is, what is the policy if someone is on long... if one of the planners is on long-term sickness and there's no one to pick up that case?
Well, we'll have to pick that one up separately because that's very much personal to the staff member involved, and we've a duty of care to the staff members. But I'm sure Connor will take that issue up with you specifically, that planning application. We can't discuss that in the open
chamber.
That's
cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Move on to items number 12 through to 19 inclusive, our correspondence. Okay, and in relation to item number 19, if there are any objections as per the correspondence you've received, you need to let us know now. But items number 12 through to 19 are for correspondence, so if anybody wants to raise issues, I have you in front of you here. I'll take Councillor Bourne on item 16 and Councillor King on item 19.
Yeah, Chair, Councillor King's in front of me.
Pardon?
Councillor King was in there, I just was see in front of me before we put him in second in.
Sorry, I have a little floaty that goes across my screen here until it clears. I can't see who's there. Okay, Councillor King, apologies. Go ahead. Item 19.
Thanks, Chair. It was just to say something quite briefly on the item 19. Hopefully this is a sign that the housing development will commence soon, as it is currently being held up despite being approved by planning a number of years ago. So, look, the development will enable a significant upgrade for the roads infrastructure in that area, which is badly needed. And it includes the implementation of a wastewater system, which will undoubtedly help to address the issues of flooding that local residents have been experiencing in recent months and years. So, we're quite happy and quite positive to see item 19 being mentioned.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, yeah, and like yourself, it's been a long time coming out of the ground. We want to see that development and future developments in that whole area to house the people in the area we represent take place. So are there any other objections to 19? Or any objections to 19? No. So are members happy? And really, we're on discussing item 19. We're happy for that to go through without any objections. Okay. All supportive. Item 16, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Firstly, I want to just thank officers for rewriting to the Minister in terms of inclusion of County Armagh down in Ireland's Ancient East. The last line of, and thanks for including the letter as well, as I asked the last time, the last line of the Council letter back to the Minister was urging the Minister to give this matter serious consideration, and I actually had a laugh when I seen the response back from the Minister that she didn't read, mustn't have read that last line, because she gave no serious consideration to what was outlined in the letter, only a point back to her first letter, and trying to fob it off and talking about, you know, hurdles and the remit that she has. And just to make it clear that my disappointment with the second letter, that she was specifically asked to look at, outside the formal possibilities, the informal ways of developing a partnership and extending Ireland's Ancient East, and urging her to raise it as a discussion point in her meeting with the department. She's clearly hasn't engaged and invoked those lines, and that has to be minuted as, you know, disappointing. But I'm happy to found ways to follow up on this issue without formally writing back again from the council. So thanks to the officers for writing twice, but I think we'll find other ways to get round the hurdle.
Okay. Okay. No further issues in relation to the correspondence. Last call. Right. Okay. Item number 20 is a notice of motion, inclusive and accessible leisure facilities, in the name of Councillor Sharvin. This is going to the AHC committee. So, Councillor Sharvin, can you read out your motion, please, and advise who's seconding it, please?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Newry, Mourne and Down District Council reaffirms its commitment to ensuring all leisure facilities are inclusive and accessible for everyone in our community. The Council recognises that we can do so much more for people with a disability such as autism, and will undertake a review engagement with service users, autism network providers and Disability Sports NI. The review should include the provision of training needs to all council staff, both front of house, support staff and the aquatics team, to provide inclusive one-to-one swimming sessions for users with disabilities, and Councillor Kern's signature.
Okay. Thank you. That'll go to the AHC committee for further consideration. Item number 21 is a notice of motion on voting age reduction in the name of Councillor Andrews. Councillor Andrews, can you read your motion, please, speak to it, and advise who's seconding it?
Thank you very much. Councillor Pete Byrne will be seconding the motion, Chairperson. We're going to read into the records. At Newry, Mourne and Down District Council calls for the voting age of 18 to be reduced to 16, and if this motion is adopted, seeks the support of the remaining councils in Northern Ireland to write the Secretary of State, calling him to amend the necessary legislation to enable 16-year-olds and upwards to vote. So Councillor Byrne is going to second.
Okay, go ahead, Councillor Andrews.
In presenting this motion this evening, by doing so, I feel it, like so many others, that the voting age should be lowered to 16. In my own party, the SDLP, in the past and at present, supports and backs the call to do this. The existing voting legislation was amended back in 1969-70 to allow the then 18-year-olds plus to have the franchise. 53 years later, it is high time that the age of voting should be reduced to 16. At this age, so many are making crucial decisions that will impact upon and map out their own life's journey, be it educational, be it educational route, or setting out on a career path, paying taxes, national insurance, rents and rates, etc., paying their way, and in reducing the voting age, they will be able to have their say through the ballot box and given a steer on how their taxes are spent. Passing verdict and voting on how the country should be governed, similar to their counterparts in Scotland and Wales, who at 16 can vote for the Scottish Parliament, the Welsh Senate and the respective local councils, and I feel that Westminster too should be the same. In reducing the voting age up to 16, this could ignite a spark and help usher in a new generation of politicians and public representatives. And our own party, the SDLP, and I'm sure there's others in the chamber, will see it firsthand how our young people are energetic, enthusiastic about politics and want to do their bit. The Good Friday Agreement is now approaching its 25th anniversary. Will those who have enjoyed the peace it has delivered, if this was today, they couldn't cast their vote? In summing up, Mr. Chairperson, in tabling this motion this evening, and they've adopted, I call upon the other 10 councils to weigh in behind and support the motion, calling upon the Secretary of State and the statutory departments to bring in the much-needed legislation to enable our 16-year-olds and upwards to have the same rights as their counterparts have in Scotland and Wales in casting their votes at election time. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Is your seconder going to speak on it, Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, Chair, happy to second. Just add to what Terry says and not repeat some of the points that he made and what 16-year-olds can and can't do. But, I mean, when Austria, the first European country, brought this in, I've looked over in the last couple of days the surveys and it's hugely positive. You want more people engaged in the democratic process. I know it's followed on through Malta and Germany as well, and there's other countries having conversations about it. And you know what? It would do this place good to have young people from 16 to 18 actually voting and having their say, especially at a time where we've got, you know, huge discussion points in this country. And you've got people over the last number of years through huge change with Brexit that are actually bringing their voice to the table through sort of youth movements and young political groups as well. And they should be front and centre here. I mean, the SDLP kicked off with its principles of the New Ireland Commission, and there are a lot of young people who know there was an event today, sorry, the points, the discussion points, and there was an event 2 weeks ago with a room full of young people and many people under the age of 18, and it's just fantastic to listen to the vision that they have, and I think it would do this place the world of good to have those people engaged in the democratic process and voting, so I absolutely support this, yeah.
Yeah, Councillor Andrew, just a point of order. You somewhat amended your motion by saying that you wanted to write to each of the 10 councils. Yes, do you want to make that a formal amendment to your...
Yes, I do indeed, Chairperson, and I got a formal amendment that members are happy to approve.
Are members happy with that amendment? No objections? Okay, we just need to formalise that. Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Bowsey, you comment?
Chair, we would be against lowering the age of voting to 16. While there are some sound arguments, I believe it's inappropriate to expect children to be informed enough about politics to vote in an election. 18 is the age of majority when one becomes a legal adult and gains legal independence, and the right to vote should reflect this. Some actually believe that the voting age should be raised to 21. I personally believe that 18... At 18, people have adequate knowledge to know what to expect of political parties. Any younger, though, I would be concerned that political parties would make inappropriate commitments to try and win the votes of young people. So in the interest of our youth and for our democratic process, we believe 18 is an appropriate age to vote and therefore won't support the motion.
Okay. Councillor Murray. Sorry, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. No, I'll be very brief. We wholeheartedly support this long-standing alliance commitment to reduce the age of voting to 16. There's plenty of things, not least work, at which one can do at 16 and not have a sort of a say in that. It's wrong. Without wanting to digress too much in what the previous speaker had to say about the interests of young people, I don't really understand how the interests of young people can be served by not actually listening to their voice when it comes to how they want to be governed. So I wholeheartedly disagree against that. And certainly, as someone who works with youth, young people quite regularly, I dare say they would they've a lot of input and a lot of interest and a lot of valuable contributions to make, so wholeheartedly support it, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And on behalf of the Sinn Féin group, and we're more than happy to support the motion. We fully see the benefit of engaging with teenagers and on what's going on in civic society, particularly in local elections. We have a very healthy OGRA Sinn Féin Youth Programme, and We can see the benefits with many members of Ogra Hin Féin going on to become councillors. And we would reckon that that's the future of politics here. So to Mullanoiga agus Chucky Shee there, saying goes, so praise the youth and they will flourish. So give them confidence and they'll do us well. Happy to support.
Thanks, Councillor Murray. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, yep, happy to support the motion. I think it should be given consideration. Certainly whenever when you're 16 years of age, your working age, you're paying taxes, your national insurance contributions, you're playing a positive role in society. And I think it's right that we should look at offering votes to 16-year-olds. So happy to support the motion. Sorry.
Thank you. Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yes, no. I think maybe, first of all, this would be a Westminster issue rather than a Stormont one. 18, to me, the age of 18, it represents an age of sufficient maturity. Because we understand, too, that from reading articles before the day, those at the age of 18 to 24 generally are not repeat voters when it comes to elections. And we have plenty of elections in this country, and it's been well documented that way. And the other thing, when I think about the age of 16, if the age of 16 was right, does that also mean that you could be elected as an MP at the age of 16? So I can assure you, as TUV, we will oppose the motion. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we obviously have division in the chamber, so we have enough to take this as a roll call.
Chair, before we leave that roll call,
I'll get you to sum up now.
Could I reply?
Thank you very much.
I would like to thank members present tonight. And we are a democratic forum, and we all come from different shades of opinion. And I do respect Councillor Bowsey's and Councillor McKee's opinions. I think it's a democracy. It's healthy that we do have that debate. And I think myself, maybe through Scotland and Wales, I've been operating this for several years now. I think it's since the early 2010s, whatever. But as I say, I'd like to thank everybody tonight for the contributions to such a very good debate. And thanks
thank
to all concerned, even to everybody on all sides who contributed. It's a democracy. I'm pleased with it.
Okay, well, we'll take a roll call then. Sarah?
Yep. Councillor Andrews?
Definitely, yes.
Councillor Bowsey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Burgess is absent. Councillor Byrne?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gallagher?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Yes.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Jackson?
Against.
Councillor Kearns? Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy? Four. Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor O'Murray?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Rowan?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Stokes?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tinley?
Four.
Councillor Traynor?
Four.
So I have 34 for and 6 against.
Okay, Julie carried. Okay, the next motion is item number 22, notice of motion Invest NI in the name of Councillor Hanlon. This will be sent to ERT for further discussions. Councillor Hanlon, if you can read out your motion and advise who's seconding it, please. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. So this council notes the recent publication of the Department of Economy's review into InvestNI, welcomes that the need for profound change within the organisation has been recognised, notes with concern that InvestNI has not proactively promoted the benefits and opportunities of the protocol for businesses, which, given our council's geographic position, represents missed opportunities. We call on Council to work collaboratively with InvestNI to put a focus on promoting a balanced regional economy, boosting productivity, targeting support to local small and medium businesses, bringing new and good quality jobs to the district, future-proofing our local economy and investing in green jobs, and unlocking the potential of our towns. And Councillor Murphy will be seconding it. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Item number 23 is a notion of motion funding in the name of Councillor Tinley, and on the basis that this was time sensitive, I'm prepared to hear it in Council. There's been an amended version uploaded to your system. But Councillor Tinley, can you read out your motion, advise who's seconding it, and speak to it, please?
Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Malone will be seconding the motion. So the wording is, this council welcomes the commitment from DFC, DERA and DFA to help fund the four proposed environmental improvement schemes in Restrepo, Bessbrook, Sainfield and Castlewellan that are currently being developed. This council also recognises that notwithstanding the recent welcome additional funding offer to offset inflationary construction costs, council's contribution to the overall cost of these projects may also need to be increased to take account of other unforeseen factors and to accurately reflect the outworkings of the public engagement process. To that end, council officers will now bring forward a paper at the earliest opportunity with a revised budget to be considered by council as a contingency measure to cover a potential funding shortfall in order that the EA schemes to be delivered in each of these four locations reflect the views and expectations of the local communities. That's the wording, Chairman.
And who's seconding it?
Councillor Malone.
Malone, okay. Yeah, go ahead. You want to speak to the motion, Councillor Tinley?
Well, first of all, Chairman, I wish to thank you for allowing us to be brought forward here tonight, and I think it's important at the outset that I explain try to contextualise why I felt the need to bring this motion. As indicated, Chairman, there are four EA schemes being proposed as part of the Small Settlement Improvement Programme, and the designs are currently being finalised before submission to planning, with the works to be completed within the current financial year. Colleagues, these design proposals are based on public engagement and feedback, and considering they will most likely be in place for the next couple of decades, the importance of getting it right cannot be overstated. It is my understanding that due to the conservation status of at least one of the four areas, planners have indicated that the building materials they would deem acceptable to reflect the conservation status will gobble up the vast majority of the current budget. The knock-on effect means that the footprint area of the works would be greatly reduced, and considering these works are generational, it is important to raise the issue at this stage, as it is vital that any potential shortfall in funding is found in order that the works reflect the expectations of the residents in these four small towns. That's it, Chairman.
Councillor Malone, do you want to speak in seconding the motion?
No, that's fine. I wholeheartedly support what Charlotte has said. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Yep, certainly sympathetic to the motion. I know myself been involved in various meetings and discussions regarding the EI scheme in Bessbrook as part of the Slieve Cullion DEA, and obviously living in a village as well, I have a keen interest in seeing how that moves forward, and some of the plans included within that are a good way of rejuvenating and regenerating the village, and certainly I would want to see that going forward as soon as possible. I am conscious, obviously, that we have, you know, went through a rates process and budgets, etc., have been discussed for the forthcoming year. But that's all. That's something that would be taken into consideration, I'm assuming, as part of any paper produced. But I think we do need to look at the overall funding for these projects, because I wouldn't want to see any of them lost. And particularly, obviously, I have a keen interest in the Bestwick one as being a representative for the area. So, you know, anything that we could do to look at this, you know, to ensure that the schemes don't fall or don't be reduced in any way, you know, we should do that. So I'm happy to, you know, certainly support the motion at this present time.
Okay. Councillor Sharvin, you have a question.
Yeah, Chair, and I agree with Jarlath and even Councillor Taylor around, you know, we as the council want to deliver fantastic improvement schemes, not just across these four sites, but across the district. But my question is in relation, we have seven small settlement schemes that are currently underway. And at our last working group, I actually asked DSC, was additional money being made available given that the EI schemes have been given money? I was told no. Now, the wording of this motion, does that then give opportunity for those seven small settlement schemes to get additional council money? You know, I could argue that Strangford and Killock, we're 40,000 over the amount that we have to spend, because the action points off the project is greater than the money that we have. And I'm not saying that we should, but that is where my question is. Secondly, I would assume any additional money that's coming from council would be still at the 10% cap as the pre-fund guidelines, that when this was at ERT in December, it clearly states the contribution from council. So is the additional money that's being asked in this motion to fill the gap between the amount that is less now because more has came in and the council increased that amount to the 10% ceiling that we have agreed to? Or is this above and beyond the 10%? Because it would be unfair for those four EI schemes to get more money and then in my own DEA, Strangford and Killock, to get nothing. So those two questions, Chair, before I give away.
Yeah, well, I think they're all questions that have to be dealt with in the paper. I think they're all very rational questions. I think it's one of the reasons why I think Councillor Tunley, to be fair to him, came back with an amended version, was he was trying to deal with the issue that we weren't sending a message that this is an open checkbook. This is dealing with time-sensitive projects that are running up against inflationary and supply chain costs that have impacted. And I know there's been flexibility in the small settlements in relation to potentially timeline runovers in some cases. So I think we're in an era of flexibility within departments because things have been so tight to get things delivered for materials, to get schemes over the line, but also the fact that there are significant inflationary pressures coming on a number of the schemes. So I think that all has to be contextualised within the discussions that has to take place at the officer level to bring that paper back. And it may well be an agenda item we could look at SFWG as well in relation to the challenges that are coming down the line if sufficient arguments can be made for cost overruns in some of the projects that we're looking at. But I think that all has to be considered as part of that. Potentially, if you wanted to amend in any way the motion to reflect that, you could ask Councillor Tinley, we'd be happy to reflect any of your concerns in any form of an amendment.
Well, Chair, just on the back of that, so is a report coming from the next ERT committee? Is that the objective of this motion, that a report would come to the committee next Monday to detail what additional money is being asked for and committed? It's normally the following month, but it's time critical.
It looks like it would have to be a very late paper if it was going to be on the agenda for tomorrow. But look, I think that officers will go off and try and do their best to get something tabled based on what Councillor Tinley has said. But we may not have the time to turn it around. But that's why this was being heard tonight, to try and at least get... Pardon? Sorry. Yeah. It may take another month to get this turned around, but that's why I was prepared to hear the motion tonight, so that work could, rather than we were going off to the committee, wait on work being carried out there, maybe a 2-month overrun, whereas this time
we hopefully within a month we have something coming back. I think that's fairly fair enough reflection, Councillor Tinley.
Yes, Chairman, that's a perfect synopsis of where we are. It wasn't to put demands on officers. It was to invite officers to go off and look at this. And they were able to get into the minutiae and come back to us.
Okay. Well, look, we have to allow reasonable timelines as well for officers to do the work on it, because it is quite a bit of a scoping exercise to be done on it. So we leave it that paper will come back in due course. Councillor Howe.
Thank you, Chair. Look, we largely support the spirit of the motion as well, but obviously, as Councillor Taylor pointed out, we have been through a rigorous rates process. So, you know, that if funds are available, absolutely. Nobody wants to see it delivered in Castlewell any more than myself, especially after a tough couple of years. But again, we look forward to.
Yeah, well, I suspect that the paper will outline any challenges we have financially. So I think the best thing is to see what comes back in the paper. Councillor McMurray.
Support the motion, support the paper coming back, and allow a bit of time as well for councillors to go back to the respective EI within their own DEA to consult there too. But I'm certainly happy with the general direction of the motion.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
I feel there's general consensus in the room to support the feel of the motion and the spirit of the motion, and I think that on the basis that there's a paper coming back, are we happy enough to proceed? Councillor Tinney, do you want to sum up?
No, just thank the contributions from members and indeed your interventions there, Chair, which perfectly summed up where we are. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Tinney. So are we happy enough? Julie Carey. Okay. Move on to item number 24, which is a notice of motion on prostate cancer in the name of Councillor Gallagher. And this will be heard this evening. Councillor Gallagher, can you outline your motion? Advise who's seconding and then speak on the motion, please.
Yes, Chair. Councillor Guy Stoke is going to second this motion. Prostate cancer is the second most common cancer in men in Northern Ireland. Prostate cancer usually develops slowly, so there may be no signs to have it for many years. Most cases develop in men aged 50 or older. I call on Uri Morningdown to proactively engage with the Department of Health to provide advice and signpost people on the symptoms of prostate cancer. This will result in the utilising of council's facilities and social media to promote the signs and symptoms of prostate cancer. I'm requesting that council write to the Department of Health to increase their own promotional campaign on prostate cancer. Chair, I have an article there from the Cancer Focus NI, and it is startling to hear that in Northern Ireland over 1,200 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer every year, making it the most common form of male cancer. It is the second most cause of cancer death in men, and approximately 290 dying from this disease every year in Northern Ireland. Prostate cancer is a common but often slow-growing cancer, usually affecting men over the age of 40. Prostate cancer develops when one cell in the prostate starts to multiply out of control, thus forming a tumour. In many cases, the cancer is slow-growing and may not cause major problems. However, sometimes it is faster-growing and will require prompt treatment. Again, the exact cause is still unknown. However, certain things have to be shown to increase a man's risk developing the disease, such as risk of the increase in men as they get older, and it's rare in men under 40 years of age, while 70% of the cases occur in men aged 65 or over. Chair, that is my motion.
Okay. Councillor Stokes, you happy to second?
Yeah, Chair, just to formally second, and I want to thank Hugh for bringing the motion. It's a very important issue and a very scary issue, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor McMurray? Somebody's got there. Councillor McMurray?
Thank you, Chair. I know support the motion. And again, without going over some of the issues, the most common form of cancer, and you know, there's certain inadequacies within within the system and how we treat it. And again, a certain amount of nearly 100 men apparently having to travel England sometimes for vital surgery. You know, the core issues with many other conditions is improved workforce planning, better use of facilities, and more responsible balance between local clinics and specialist treatment centres. And again, wholeheartedly agree. Chair, I would just wonder, is it, with the consent of Councillor Gallagher, is it worth as well also communicating this to the Public Health Agency as well, just in order to help spread the words about this, you know, and normally raising public awareness? And also, is it also worth communicating to the Department of Health regarding the allocation, the funding allocation within the cancer funding plan for the incoming year? So again, just
so you've been proposing a motion or an amendment to the motion?
Well, in the most gracious way, yes.
And what would the wording of that be?
Well, perhaps that we communicate to the Public Health Agency this motion, and also write to the Department of Health regarding the allocation of funds.
Councillor Gallagher, are you happy to accept that?
Oh, sorry.
I have not a problem with that, as I say. As long as you word it correctly, I have no problem at all right. Going through.
So that the amendment is that this this motion, the content of this motion is communicated to Public Health Agency,
yes.
And we also write to the Department of Health to ask for increased funding. To confirm the funding. Is that fair enough? You get that, sir? Okay. Who have we next? Councillor Hannah.
Sure, we have no problem at all supporting this motion, and that what Councillor Gallagher says, it has to be promoted, that the symptoms need to be promoted so they are to make awareness out there. It's one of those types of cancers, as Councillor Gallagher says, for want of a better way of saying it, sneaks up on you, so it does, and then all of a sudden it could be too late. So public awareness is everything in this. So we're more than happy to support it.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Taylor.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to thank Councillor Gallagher for bringing forward this motion. It's obviously a very important motion. And certainly one of our key objectives as a council is looking after the health and wellbeing of our citizens. And to me, this motion fits in very well with that objective in terms of trying to promote awareness about various cancers. But obviously, in this situation, it's prostate cancer that affects many men. And you know, if we can even if what promotion we undertake, I would hope it would save many lives. But if it even saves one life, it makes it all worthwhile. But certainly, you know, I think we should do all that we can as a council to raise awareness about the symptoms, raise awareness about, you know, the potential issues that there could be, and see if that helps somebody to seek that help or seek that assistance, and it saves their life. It's done a good job. So thanks, Councillor Gallagher, for bringing this forward.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Murphy.
Yes, we'd also like to welcome this as well and support the motion, and thanks to yourself for bringing this forward. Thank you.
Okay, so we obviously have unanimity in the chamber. Councillor Gallagher, do you want to sum up, please?
Yes, Chair, I want to thank now the councillors for supporting this motion. The reason that I brought this motion before is that I work within the elderly service and have done for so many years, and I've witnessed firsthand the impact it has on individuals and on families. One of the things that became more apparent to me was that although prostate cancer has been mentioned, it is not really being promoted or discussed to the extent that other cancers have. Maybe it's because it's a male illness that men aren't too willing to talk out. So again, thanks very much, Chair, for this motion being accepted, and thanks for all the councillors.
Okay. Julie carried. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Gallagher. The next notion of motion is the item number 25, notice of motion, domiciliary care. And it's the name of Councillor Traynor. Councillor Traynor, can you read out your motion, advise who's seconding it, and speak to the motion, please? It's going to be heard in the chamber tonight. Thank you.
Certainly, Chair, thank you. And Councillor McCavitt will be seconding the motion. Chair, this council recognises the importance of domiciliary care and ensuring people can be cared for in the comfort of the home environment. We'll write to the South Eastern Island Southern Health and Social Care Trusts, calling for them to review their current models for providing these services and to increase the percentage of care packages delivered by the trusts. further calls for an urgent review at a domiciliary carer and how it is delivered across the north, given the lack of capacity both in the public and private sectors. Chairperson, care within the home environment has become essential for those being discharged from hospital, aiding with the recovery, and those suffering from poor health or an end-of-life care, ensuring comfort, quality, and for some, companionship. The trusts have highlighted this many times over the last number of years, remarking specifically on how being cared for in the home environment is beneficial to the recovery of individuals or allowing for quality time spent with family and friends during end of life. They have also alluded to the pressures caused with bed blocking when appropriate care packages cannot be made available to those who could be discharged from hospital facilities, even as recently as October when the health trusts came to this council. In that meeting, the CEO of the Southeastern Health Trust stated that there was over 6,000 unspent hours of domiciliary care as the private sector could not meet the growing demands. Now, I am sure there are many within this chamber who have been contacted by constituents finding difficulties in having care packages being partially or fully delivered. As we've been previously told by the trusts, there is an issue in delivery of care packages. Private providers are unable to meet the rising needs, and the care models used to allocate care being delivered by the trusts or the private sector remains unchanged. Yes, there is the option for direct payment provision, which may work for some people, giving them more flexibility in being able to organise their own care, but it is not feasible for everyone. Now, the care being delivered by our domiciliary care workers is excellent. There are many compassionate, professional and committed people within this sector who deliver a high quality of care for individuals. And as most of the people in this room know, I had went through a personal instance myself when my father had been, I suppose, in his end-of-life treatment. And we were very fortunate to have received a full care package, which helped through one of the most difficult challenges that we've all faced, I suppose, within our generation, that being the pandemic. And it allowed us to spend quality time with my father instead of, you know, having to try and visit within the hospital setting, within set hours. It gave us more time to spend, which is vital in those last number of months, especially when in the end-of-life care. Now, whilst I am lucky to be able to share such a positive experience, and my father was fortunate to have the entirety of his care package fulfilled, that is not the same for many others out there across our district. It is imperative that changes are made to ensure our citizens can avail of appropriate quality care within the home environment. There are underlying issues that require systemic review by the Department of Health and the Health and Social Care Trusts regarding the provision of domiciliary care and the conditions for domiciliary care workers, which the Department of Health must review if the principle is to ensure people can be cared for in the home environment. Then every effort must be made to make this a reality. And those working within the care sector need to be treated with the respect that they are due for undertaking such an important role. Now, I understand, like my colleagues, that this will not be a quick process, but it must be undertaken with the utmost urgency. As a review by the department will not address the immediate pressures faced in delivering care, our health and social care trusts can affect certain changes that could help alleviate the pressures. The South Eastern Trust have stated openly when at council prior to Christmas that they deliver care packages on an 80-20 model. That is 80% delivered by the private sector and 20% delivered by the trust. We would ask the trust to review this arrangement, recruit the staff needed to increase the amount of care that can be provided by the trust and allow people to receive good quality care provision. And that same request would be asked then of the Southern Trust. Chair, I have nothing further to add in my remarks, but I do hope that my colleagues will look favourably on this motion as it affects many across our district.
Okay, Councillor McKevitt, you want a second? Do you want a second comment?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. First of all, can I thank Councillor Traynor for bringing this motion to the floor of the Chamber tonight. I have to say, I have nothing more to add to what John has already stated on statistics and on the review and the importance of the urgency around it, other than for those families that are currently have their family members in hospital waiting to be discharged because and there's a delay in it because of not being able to get a package in place and the frustration around that you know, if we can bring enhanced services and recruitment on this for domiciliary workers
bring that forward, that it'll make the difference for families getting the care that they need and moving on with looking after their loved ones. But and to the workers that are in the system at the minute, I have to say we couldn't praise their efforts in the community and the value that their work is, not just to the families, but to neighbours and everybody around them. So, I mean, the recruitment process is very, very important on the urgency as well. So I think if the urgent review happens at ASAP, that would be highlighted, probably top of the list as well. So thank you.
Thanks, Councillor McKevitt. Councillor Hannah.
Thank you, Chair. Dominic Senator, Chair, to be quite honest with you, I think it's one of the most important services that's delivered. I know my father, he died quite recently, so he did, and there's men and women at it, so they're doing the job, and to be quite honest with you, the work they do is incredible. It is incredible. And I still do believe that people are better in their own homes and to be kept in their own homes as long as possible. My mother also received the domiciliary care as well. She said, "Hello, she suffered from Alzheimer's and we just couldn't cope with the last of it." But I know my father, right up to the last, he had his wits about. He was 89 years of age, and it was a girl from domiciliary care that found him that morning there when he passed away. And it's trauma too for them. You have to appreciate that, and the care they give, the friendship, the dignity they give to the people that they attend is unbelievable. So I can't say enough about them. I believe they're underpaid. I was delighted to see that time that I'm pretty sure most of them got that £400. They very much deserved it. So they did, along with the nurses and other caring staff that received it. So I'm absolutely 100% behind this motion. We need more done in the area, so we do. And we in the DUP will be supporting it.
Thanks, Councillor Hannan. Thanks for sharing your personal story. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. Just to thank Councillor Traynor for bringing this motion forward. It is an increasing problem across the district, and whenever you hear some of the stories from the have families out there that just want to bring their loved one home, and I agree that having them home can really aid and help their health and them help their recovery, and to be able to offer them that care within their own home is absolutely vital. My own granda took ill when I was only 17, and I cared for him as long as I could, until we got in somebody who could come in for an hour or so day. But that hour or so was absolutely vital to take the weight off my shoulders as a young fella. And you can see how that care and assistance does help families, and to the extent where it's greatly respected by the families whenever their loved one does eventually pass away, that you get these healthcare staff and carers actually coming to the house, to the wake, to the funeral, and that shows their level of commitment and that close relationship that they actually build up with the family. So I am wholeheartedly support this motion and would call on that they entrust to do everything that they can to review and identify what the problems are.
Thanks, Councillor Lewis, and again, thank you for sharing your personal story. It just shows there's hardly a family connected to each member here that hasn't been touched in some way by the great work that East Down Auxiliary Care workers provide to the lifeblood of our local community in relation to care. Councillor McAvoy.
Yes, thank you. There'd be two questions I would put to ask in the Trust, and that would be to ask the Trust what is being done to equalise pay and conditions across the social care workforce, bearing in mind that most of the domiciliary care is delivered by the independent sector. And secondly, to ask the Trust about the plans it has in place to recruit and retain social care workers into these important roles, which help provide care and support to thousands of people to live as independently as possible in their own home. I'm actually a domiciliary care manager, so I see firsthand every day the challenges that is faced within dom care. There's questions we can ask ourselves. Is our social care broken? Is it meeting the needs of older people, and is it sustainable in the longer term? The reform of social care is strategically important and vital to enabling older people to live independently with dignity and security, having choice and control over how they manage their lives. We talk about reform, and included in that discussion is the need for a skilled and valued workforce within social care. And in a briefing from AGNI in 2017, with regards to a skilled, valued workforce, AGNI had stated that they believed that services for older people in need of care and support should be provided by skilled, competent and valued workers with decent salaries and appropriate pay scales, stable working conditions and manageable workloads. Part of people noted that in one of the recommendations on the social care workforce stated in their proposal, Sector Expert Advisory Plan proposes that the care and support sector should be at least a living wage sector as a first step to recognising it as a professional workforce. In the longer term, the vision should be to equalise pay and conditions across the social care workforce. It's often categorised that paying for care is a drain on the resources and pressures on budgets. However, social care could provide good jobs and fulfilling long-term careers that are vital to society if it was appropriately funded. The status of care work also needs to be improved. It is an essential, skilled and professional occupation, and we need to ensure that the best people are attracted to working in it, developing their career and skills and staying in the workforce. Pay needs to be improved, but we also need an effective workforce plan. The National Registration of Care Workers in ANI, which is the NISC registration, gives an opportunity to raise the status of care work to that of a recognised profession. This improves communications and information around training and development, in turn can inform an effective workforce development strategy, creating a professional body for social care workers and be an effective way of raising the status of care work. This is a vital service to the older people in our community. It is often deemed a lifeline, and therefore appropriate investment is crucial for the continued delivery of this service. And I hear what everyone says, and the staff that I manage, I can't thank them enough, and that's across the board. All healthcare workers, social care workers, they're like angels to the families that they deliver that service to. And I understand that the Trust make arrangements and enhancements and things like that to better their service, but I think it's important and vitally important that it is also looked upon and reflected on the independent sector, who is delivering 80% of these care packages.
Okay, so are you proposing those two questions to be added as an amendment?
If Councillor Traynor would be happy.
Councillor Traynor, are you happy to accept those questions? Do you want to hear them again?
Sure. No, I've heard them, and they're very pertinent questions to the subject, and certainly if it means that, you know, the support will be unanimous across this chamber, to send a message to the department and also to the Health and Social Care Trust, 100% add the questions in, and hopefully the Trust will be able to provide comprehensive answers whenever they respond to us.
Okay. So, okay, Councillor McGill, are you happy enough with that?
Yes.
And thank you for your personal insight as well. Thank
no problem. You. Thank you, Councillor Traynor.
Okay. Councillor Taylor.
sorry, thanks, Chair. Yep, very happy to support the motion, but I think it's already been relayed by other councillors, Chair, including yourself, about the, you know, the vital work that domiciliary care workers undertake within our community, and we rightly should pay tribute to that work. And, you know, I think the care and compassion that they show to all the families that, you know, require the support, it's greatly appreciated by every one of those families, and it certainly takes a lot of pressure off the families at a time when they require that support. So I think that obviously should be recognised. But there is clearly issues as well within the system, and, you know, I know myself, even in recent months, I've had to engage with the Trust over lack of support being required and families waiting on packages to be provided, and that creates its own pressures and its own frustrations for those families. So we do need to look at addressing the issues that prevail at present, to ensure that we can provide that service to everybody that requires it, because that's vitally important, particularly at a time when, in a lot of cases, you know, people, particularly if someone's coming towards the end of their life, that people, certainly families, want that loved one at home. It means so much to them to be able to be in that position. So, you know, certainly if, you know, the trust is, and obviously the amendments that have been proposed by Councillor McAvoy, if the powers that be take on board, but we're certainly looking on to do that, but it would certainly make sure that we're in a better place. So hopefully they will look at what we're asking of them sympathetically going forward, and we can get into a position where the care support sector is able to provide the service in terms of numerical service that we wanted to be able to provide. So certainly happy to support the proposal and amendment.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. I think it's important that we appreciate that a lot of the bed blocking that we have in our system is down to the lack of care available in the community. And I think on the point you've raised, Councillor McAvoy, making that a career option for people with proper conditions would only, I think, prove beneficial for the whole of our health service and free up particularly elderly and vulnerable people from having to stay in hospital long term and get them out into the community where they'll be cared for and have access to their families, and as a result make life a bit easier for us in our hospital settings. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the Lions believe there should be more support for domiciliary care as part of a reformed integrated health service and social care system, in which those providing domiciliary care can be the eyes and ears of truly integrated health and wellbeing service. Domiciliary care, as highlighted very articulately by Councillor Tainer and Councillor McAvoy, can no longer be seen as the perorelation of the system, in which those providing the service are in fact a vital front line. So I don't really want to sort of rehash anything else that's been said, but Chair, just before I do go, I don't want to be too preemptive here, but I know that Councillor Tainer is stepping down, and I think it is fitting that if this is indeed one of the last motions he brings, as such, I don't want to be too preemptive, that Councillor Tainer has really led from the front in this term here in bringing forward such things about health service and for young people as well. So I think it's incredibly fitting. I know that he comes from a long line of those who would do such like that, and I think it's very, very fitting, and I'm not surprised that Councillor Tainer did that. And John, just, you know, you're one of the good dudes, so keep her lit. Thank you.
Okay, he sure is one of the good dudes, yeah. I agree with that. But he's not away just yet. Councillor McKee. You there, Harold?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thought there was someone ahead of me there. Yes, I just again thank Councillor Tainer for bringing forward this notice of motion. I believe that domiciliary care workers are special people who go beyond their call of duty, and it's so important to afford the opportunity of older people being able to stay in their own homes and within their own environment. I support the motion, and that they do write to the Southern, Eastern, the South Eastern and Southern Health and Social Care Trust, calling them to increase the percentage of care packages to the domiciliary workers. Thank you.
Thanks, Harold. Look, I think there's unanimity in the chamber on this matter, and I'd like to thank Councillor Tainer for bringing the motion and Councillor McAvoy for providing insight that put a very valuable amendment to it. I think the debate's been exceptional, and the input's been exceptional, and unanimity across the floor. Councillor Tainer, do you want to sum up, please?
Just a few lines, Chair, just a few lines. I suppose the fact that there's been so much personal experience shared in tonight's meeting shows that it is an issue that affects many of us, it affects the majority of us, and at some point in the future it may affect one of us, and it's only right and fitting that the political will is certainly there, and it's now trying to bear that on the administrative will to ensure that the needs of our constituents are met. I especially welcome the insight from Leanne and from working within the sector as well, and she's 100% correct. This needs to be seen as a professional career for people. You know, I suppose anecdotally, if you talk to someone who does provide care in the community, they would say sometimes that they do feel like the poor relations, and they're not. They're very much one of the front lines in, I suppose, whenever we're looking at end-of-life care, but also when we're looking at rehabilitation and recovery from our mishaps in life, and they provide such a vital service. But, Chair, I'm very glad that there is a unanimity in the Chamber, and I hope that the trusts in the Department listen to the concerns and urgently review what needs to be reviewed. There are many areas within Dunnes River Care that need to be reviewed, and I suppose Leanne touched more specifically on the terms and conditions for those who work within the sector. And, you know, some people may say that these are challenges, but they're challenges that we must face and we must overcome if we want to ensure a good quality health provision for those within our community. So, Chair, most happy with the outcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
I'm sorry, Chair. just to thank my colleague, Councillor McMurray. I'm not quite gone yet, Andy, so I'm sure we'll be speaking before that. But yes, certainly on health issues, it is a passion of mine, Chair, with regards to health issues. I do come from a long line of certainly a family that's been steeped in fighting for health service provision for the greater Down area, not just Down Patrick, it's health service provision across the Down area, because I suppose, you know, no one man is an island, and that crack, you know, we're all in this together, and I suppose where the services feeling part of our community, it's most certainly feeling another part of our community, whether it be at this side of the Mourns or the other side of the Mourns, as they would say. So,
okay.
Chair, just to have that noted, my thanks to Councillor McMurray.
Maybe the way, yeah, but you're still one of the good dudes. Okay. We move on to item number 26 then. Notice of motion, Mourne Mountain Rescue Team. And that's going to one of the other good dudes, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just keep calling you Chair and not
you'll love internet.
Due deference and all that. Thank you. The Mourne Mountain Rescue Team provide an invaluable, indeed life-saving service to the High Mourns, Slieve Croob and Slieve Gullion areas which lie within our council district. The Mourne Mountain Rescue Team have expressed concern that their practical effectiveness and financial resources could be reduced due to the name change of a rescue team from another end of the province. In order to mitigate against this, it should be agreed by this council by endorsing this motion, though shows full public support for the MMRT, as well as liaising with the team in order to establish what practical help and support can be given as they seek to secure their position via the Charity Commission. Chair, thank you for taking the time to hear this evening. Chair, I'm lucky enough that despite being outside for a fairly regular amount of time, I've never required the assistance of the Mourne Mountain Rescue Team. That said, I've been with people and witnessed people who have required their assistance. The MMRT are a truly dedicated group of individuals with an unparalleled amount of knowledge and skill in the upland environment. Unitary skills which allow them to access very inaccessible areas, to multidisciplinary skills which allow them to work very cohesively with other agencies should the need arise. Everybody entering the Mourns is safer on account of the role that the team play. To give some context and some numbers, in 2022 they were called out 59 times and assisted with 48 casualties. This amounted to 3,729 volunteer hours. A name change is not insignificant. There are major concerns that this could impact the team operationally. The change of a name from the North West Mountain Rescue Service to the Northern Ireland Mountain Rescue Team suggests they cover all of Northern Ireland, when this is not the case. The Mourne Team are by far the busiest team in NI and among the busiest in Ireland. There's a real risk that the wrong team can now be tasked in an emergency situation, leading to delays in response. The Mourne Mountain Rescue Team is also a purely voluntary organisation, which relies solely on charitable donations. There are concerns that this name change may also lead to confusion, which may impinge upon the financial stability of the Mourne Mountain Rescue Team. This motion is about showing support for the Mourne Mountain Rescue Team. You're always there for those enjoying the Mourns, Slieve Croob, Slieve Gullion, and indeed the Cully Peninsula. It also calls on the council to liaise with the team in order to establish what practical help and support can be given as they seek to secure their position via the Charity Commission. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Murray. And who's seconding? Who's seconding it? Councillor Kilogan, right. Okay, do you want to speak to Kilogan? No, you're happy enough. Okay. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to Andy for his motion. We all know of the amazing, and as Andy rightly says, life-saving work that goes on day and daily by the highly experienced and dedicated team of volunteers. I think that COVID and the pandemic really shone a spotlight on the work that they were doing for years behind the scenes, but obviously it was just magnified with the pandemic and the increased number of visitors to the Mourns. And they often did it in very, very challenging conditions to deliver a service to not just the Mourns, but also to Crib and Gullion. The naming issue does seem to be causing significant problems, and I can see why. So as a party, the SDLP fully support your motion, Andy, and thanks for raising it.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much. I discussed this notice of motion a number of days ago with Councillor McMurray, and I want to thank Andy for the briefing that he gave to me on the issues that are arising at the moment as a result of this matter. So it's obvious that the Mountain Rescue Team, they carry out a vital service for this area, and we wouldn't want to see anything placing that at risk. So if any representations we can make to help and assist in that and protect the service that is there, we should commit ourselves to doing that. So I just want to thank Councillor McMurray for bringing this very important issue to the floor this evening.
Okay, Councillor Hannah. Yeah.
Sure, we're more than happy to sign that as well. It does raise all sorts of concerns. I don't know why this other group has decided to call themselves what they have. Possibly a bit of consultation with the Mourne Mountain Rescue and other groups that do similar work would have been very, very useful. But knowing the Mourne Mountain Rescue, they're exceptional, so they're highly skilled. It is dangerous work, so it is to put themselves at risk. So they do to actually save others. So more than happy to support this, and they so are so.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. And likewise, I'd like to thank Councillor McMurray for bringing the motion forward. I think the name change, does put people's lives in jeopardy. Obviously, it's not intentionally. But every minute counts in regards to, getting off the mountain safely. First of all, I would like to, pay tribute to the dedication of the volunteers. They're out in extreme weathers day and night, and particularly they're out, at weekends as well. And these women and men have families also, and they have, issues, pressing issues as well. But they give up their time, to help others. And I think it's a truly remarkable vocation. The Mourne Mountain Rescue Team were formed in 1962. And you can just appreciate how many lives have been saved since then. And many families have been saved also. I saw it firsthand in regards to, the volunteers in action. And this is 100% voluntary, voluntary. These guys are doing this for, on Sunday afternoon, there was a call out to the Mountain Rescue on Sunday afternoon, about 4:15. There was a couple of elderly citizens who just became exhausted as they were coming down the mountain, and then became confused. And at short notice, the Mourne Mountain Rescue Team were on hand. I had been called also just by a walker who knew me, and I had arrived up. So I saw the gratitude, the people who were rescued and the people who were with them, and it just showed me that the service, on first-hand basis. And thankfully, all the two people were brought down, and I assisted in regards to that. I'd just like to pay tribute again to the volunteers who enabled that to happen. I would make the appeal as well, why I have this platform, maybe, appeal to members of the public, to prepare for their walk, It might be a sunny day down in Newcastle at sea level, and people think it's a good idea just to go up in T-shirts and a pair of trainers. This is putting their lives in danger. It's also putting the lives of the volunteers who are coming to rescue them. So people need to prepare, have the adequate clothing, wet gear, and a bit of extra food and water in case they do get into difficulties, and obviously have a mobile on hand. And I have a plan. What time they're coming home, so loved ones know that they're coming home at a certain time, they're going to be at a certain place. And if there's maybe no signal with the mobile phone, at least then the family or the next of kin have a notice of when they're expected to arrive down. As others have spoken about, it's not just the Mormons, it's Sleep Crew, but Sleep Gullion as well. And again, they're a great attraction. They're a great asset to us. But they also are very dangerous. You know, you certainly have to, you know, take proper care. Weather can turn very treacherous within an hour, within a half an hour, and people become very disorientated. So I think it's an exceptional service that they provide. And I'd just like to finish. Thanks, Andy, for bringing the motion forward.
Thank you. So again, I think that's all speakers, and they all appear to be unanimously in favour of your motion. So thanks very much, Councillor McMurray. If you'd like to wind now, please, or sum up, please.
I'll not wind anybody up. No, thank you, Chair, and thank you all the support. Again, it's purely to try and support our local team as best we can, and I really appreciate that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Duly carried. Okay. Item number 27 is a notice of motion MOU, DFI Roads, Roads and Footpaths Maintenance during cold snaps in the name of Councillor Clark. This will be going to the Sustainability and Environment Committee. Councillor Clark, can you read out your motion, please, and advise who is seconding it? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd prefer this to be heard to full council, but I appreciate your ruling, Chair. I'll read out the motion that this council notes recent cold snaps, which left many roads and footpaths in the district impassable, accepts the logistical challenges facing the workers with responsibility for gritting and maintaining roads, and commends them for their efforts, recognises the resource implication and the operational impact that such periods of colder weather can have on road service, and calls on council to engage with DFI Roads as per the Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, which will ensure our roads and footpaths are maintained during cold snaps and the public are kept safe. Thank you, Chair. Councillor Howell will be seconded.
Councillor Howell, okay, thank you. Item number 28 is Notice of Motion Rebellion Anniversaries in the name of Councillor Brennan. This will be going to Good Relations. Councillor Brennan, can you read your motion, please, and advise who's seconding it? Thank you.
I will. Thank you, Chair. This motion will be seconded by Cool Dude, Mr. McMurray. Thank you very much. Council notes that this year we'll see a number of historically significant local anniversaries, including the 225th anniversary of the 1798 United Irish Rebellion and the 220th anniversary of the execution of Thomas Russell in Downpatrick in 1803. Council recognises the significance of the 1798 Rebellion to this district, and in particular the battles at Ballinahinch and Sainfield, as well as the execution of a founding leader of the United Irishmen, Thomas Russell, at Downpatrick Jail. Council further recognises the unique and invaluable opportunities which exist to mark these events as key moments in our local shared history. Calls on Council to engage with all interested schools, communities, group, historical societies, with the objective of launching a series of events and initiatives that suitably mark these significant anniversaries. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Brennan. Item number 29 on the agenda is notice of motion vaping and e-cigarette retailers in the name of Councillor Rice. This will be going to the AHC committee. Councillor Rice, can you read out your motion, please, and advise who's seconding it? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and Councillor E. Finnegan will be seconding this motion. This council notes that the increased prevalence of vaping and e-cigarette retailers opening throughout the district. It further notes that in recent times there has been an increase in the number of complaints from concerned parents regarding the sale of vape products to underage children. It commends the work of council officials in monitoring the situation and intervening where possible. It further calls on the relevant licensing body to proactively inform all vape and e-cigarette shop owners of the potential repercussions for selling their product to underage children.
Okay. Sorry, Councillor Rice, who's seconding it?
Aoife Finnegan seconding the motion.
Okay. No problem, thank you. We now then look, go to item number 30, which is an emergency motion in the name of Councillor King, seconded by Councillor Hart. If the motion is to be heard, it would be necessary to suspend standing orders, which requires a qualified majority vote, which is not less than 80% of members present and voting. So, members, can we do a roll call for recorded vote? So, if you go ahead, sir. I know we have some members missing now. So.
Yeah.
Councillor
Andrews?
Four.
Councillor Bowsey?
Four.
Councillor Brennan?
Four.
Councillor Burgess and Burner absent. Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin?
Four.
Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Gallagher?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Four.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Jackson is absent. Councillor Kern? Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Four.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone is absent. Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McKee?
Four.
Councillor McEvitt?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hara is absent. Councillor O'Murray?
Four.
Councillor Riley is absent. Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Wan is absent. Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Stokes?
Four.
Councillor Taylor? Councillor Tinley is absent. Councillor Traynor?
Four.
31-4 and no dissent.
No dissent. Okay, so we're happy to hear it. Councillor King, can you read out your motion? Advise who's seconding. I think it's Councillor Hart seconding it. And speak to the motion, please. Thank you.
Yeah, Councillor Hart will be seconding this motion. So I read the motion here. That this council is deeply disappointed with the Department for Infrastructure's decision to proceed with a fixed bridge design for the Newry Southern Relief Road. Stresses that the local community have made clear their support for an open bridge and for the Albert Basin to remain unhindered and open to navigation. Recognises the potential of our waterways and their historical and cultural importance for the area and urges the Department for Infrastructure to reconsider their decision to proceed with a fixed bridge design. And Chair, on this motion, over the last number of years, there has been clear opposition across the Newry, Mourne and Down area for the option for the Southern Relief Road design to be a fixed bridge. The local community and elected representatives have made this clear that they wish to see a lift and bridge option, which would ensure the Albert Basin in Newry would remain unhindered and open to navigation, particularly for tall ships and vessels. Our waterways are a fantastic resource, which are a significant part of our rich heritage in this area, and the decision announced by the DFI last week to proceed with a fixed bridge has been met with huge disappointment across the district. As we look to regenerate Newry City with the ongoing development of a first-class city park at the Albert Basin and the Greenway linking Newry to Carlingford, making sure our waterways can fulfil their potential can play a key role in developing tourism and economic prosperity of this area. I therefore would ask members to support this motion tonight, requesting DFI to listen to the people of this district and urgently reconsider this short-sighted decision for a fixed bridge. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor King. Councillor Hart, would you like to come in?
Please? Yeah, I'm happy to second the motion. Cahill has covered it in everything he said.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Hart. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thank you. Whenever the news broke last week regarding this, I think it was a big disappointment to everybody involved in obviously the wider projects in terms of regeneration projects in Newry, and certainly I think the clear desire has already been mentioned by Councillor King, the clear desire from a lot of, you know, groups and community representatives and indeed the wider community that if Newry was going to realise the full long-term potential of its waterways, we needed a lift and bridge. So I'm certainly happy to support the motion. Now, what I would suggest is maybe a slight amendment. and it's okay that we urge the Department for Infrastructure to reconsider a decision, but I also think it would be important for a council representation to meet with them. Now, I'm conscious that Perlis sets in next month, but if we could certainly get a discussion with senior officials within the Department of Infrastructure prior to that, to outline, you know, our viewpoints on it, to try and, you know, articulate the views of the local community on this issue. And whilst they understand finance is an issue as part of it as well, that's something we can interrogate with them in a discussion. I just fear that just by asking for a review, they'll not give it the necessary, you know, importance that it requires. So I'd like to just add, you know, a slight amendment if Councillor King's willing to accept that as part of reconsidering their decision, that we also ask for a meeting with senior Department for Infrastructure officials on the issue.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and I can say I fully support the motion, and
give me a second, Councillor Stokes. Are you happy to take the amendment, Councillor King?
Yes, I'm happy to accept the amendment.
Apologies. Councillor Stokes, go ahead.
Yeah, Chair, something I have campaigned on for a number of years, for an opening bridge as part of the Southern Relief Road. I mean, yet another example where Newry always seems to come second best. It is deeply alarming, Chair, and you were part of a delegation of Newry councillors, I think, 2 years ago that met the outgoing Minister, Nicola Mallon. And it's deeply worrying that this decision has been taken during a time of a democratic deficit. We don't have a local minister in place. So this decision, I don't believe this decision would be taken if a local minister was in place. So, and I know, Cal, I apologise, you know you've taken the memo already, but looking at it, would you consider adding on to the motion and further request the department to delay a final decision until such time that a local minister is in place? And I do believe that's important simply because this decision has been taken by civil servants. With all due respect to them, we are told that civil servants should not take major decisions on policy like this, so that this decision should not be made until at the very least, the decision should be taken by a local minister. So that is very important, Chair, and I thank Councillor King for bringing the motion tonight. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor King, you happy to add that on?
Yeah, I'd be happy to accept that amendment, yes. A thorough consultation would be far more beneficial.
Councillor McMurray.
Yes, Chair. Again, just to add our support to the motion and said two amendments, you know, it was always of our opinion about the Lifton Bridge. It was our opinion, it was a settled opinion within council. So, fully supported, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I know at the time that I was not in favour of a Lifton Bridge going across in the Southern Relief Road, and I made it very clear the last time. And saying that, this raises all sorts of issues. The Narrow Water Bridge, if this bridge doesn't go in there, what's the point in putting the Lifton Bridge at Narrow Water then? Well, once you go past the Narrow Water, you cannot turn a ship, you'd have to reverse out. They have to turn up in the Albert Basin, so they do. Yeah. So if this pretty much happens now, there's no Lifton Bridge there, there's no point having the Narrow Water Bridge.
Well, I think the one Narrow Water Bridge was for the mussel boats to go up and down for access from the conversations I've had on the matter. So I think that was the primary thing for it. But obviously, as a result of that, it also facilitated tall ships coming up. But just for clarity on that, I think that will stay because of that, the need for the mussel boats on the loch.
Let me finish.
Yeah, sorry. Just point of information, Councillor Hannah.
Chair, to be quite honest with you, I was not in favour of it at the time. So it was the Lifton Bridge at the Southern Relief Road. There is 47 foot of clearance there to the water. I know that wouldn't accommodate. It would not accommodate the very largest of the tall ships, but there's a lot of them taller ships now. The mast actually can be lowered so they can. So I suspect quite a few of them will be able to get in. So at this moment in time, we won't be voting in favour, but we'll be abstaining in this motion.
Okay. Just as a Newry councillor that represents that say to the Loch as well, you know, there is a big need for this road on two fronts. Warren Point Port is badly in need of it for expansion, and we're all been very supportive of meeting that need. And also for the health and well-being of the constituents that I, Councillor Stokes, and other Newry councillors represent here that are breathing in the fumes of HGV lorries going through narrow streets that would otherwise be taken away from the city and onto the main arterial routes on the eastern seaboard. But the bottom line is this. Up until the 90s, Newry was a backwater town for investment. For 70, 80 years since partition, we got very little in the way of inward investment. We fought hard for it. When the peace came, we got our arterial route between Dublin and Belfast. And a lot of the regeneration that's been done was driven internally within the district here. And we've great work coming now. We've had a great opportunity with the Belfast Regional City deal. The point I make is, if we're going to do this once in a generation, let's do it right. Because so many times over the years when decisions were made, Newry just accepted second best. We're just glad to get it. But the days of that's over. We should be demanding the first rate bridge that does meet the potential for our district and the development of our tourism product, where potentially in the next 10 to 25 years, or within the next generation, we may look at engineering solutions that could open our Newry Canal, the oldest navigational canal on this island, if not these islands. So to just take a civil service decision and accept it, I think is wrong. I think this council made it very clear that while economic appraisal made difficult reading to support it on a financial basis, we were saying that the spirit of installing that bridge as a lifting bridge was to allow for the future development and potential development of our tourism product, given what we are hoping to do in the next decade of opportunity. So I think it's very important that Councillor King brought this motion tonight. I was delighted that he did, and I fully support him for doing that. But I think the message has to go back, as Councillor Stokes has said. This decision was taken by civil servants, should have been taken, and should be taken by a minister who has the capacity to make a political decision based on recognising the potential beyond economic appraisals. And I think that Newry as a city deserves to ensure that when we do get infrastructure investment, that it's what we need long, short, medium term as well. So I would be very supportive of the motion. So obviously we have Councillor McAteer has come in with a comment. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I'd be inclined to support Councillor Stokes' proposition to include an amendment regarding the waiting until the minister was appointed, whenever that'll be. Now, I know and appreciate that we would like to see movement on this as soon as possible, but to an extent, I do smell a bit of a rat on this one, in that it's... it seems to be a flag of convenience, the Executive Formation Act 2022, whereby civil servants can make decisions. I didn't see any great effort at explaining how this was actually, this decision was made and how it would be a non-ministerial decision, because coincidentally our last minister, Mallon, was to go off in 21, I think, to make a decision based on the plans. And I must say, I agree with those that are campaigning for an opening bridge, that the, you know, the 60-year projections was laughable, to be honest with you, in terms of projecting what the economic impact this would have or would not have on Newry that far down the road. It's a bit like saying after 1922 that Ireland would be the exact same type of place as it was in 2022, which it hasn't. So I think that was a bit of a non-runner in terms of being a credible position to take. So I do agree with all the speakers saying that we do need more investigation in this. And, of course, there is and it may be convenient, you know, for certain parties maybe who would have eyes on a DFI infrastructure to free up some money for other things and not to have this in Newry. So I hope certainly that an executive will be formed as soon as possible via the protocol the situation, and that we would have a minister in place. But I do support the amendment. Thank you, Chair.
And I think, as Council, I think we all agree that we see the need, for example, and we're very supportive of the need that has been expressed by Warren Point Port, and we want to see this delivered as quickly as possible. I think the point that we as Council are making, the majority of what I'm hearing in the Chamber tonight, is why not do it with a bells and whistles approach as opposed to making do, as we said earlier on. There is not unanimity in the room, so we're going to have to take this to a vote. Will this be a recorded vote, sir, or just a roll call? Just roll call. Okay, so do a quick roll call for those still in chamber online. Thank you.
Councillor Andrew?
In favour, yes.
Councillor Boise?
Abstain.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Burgess and Bernard Gone. Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Devon?
Four.
Councillor Enright is gone. Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Gallagher and Gibbons are gone. Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
I abstain.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Jackson's gone. Councillor Kearns? Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Abstain.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Malone's absent. Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McKee?
Abstain.
Councillor McKevitt?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hara's absent. Councillor Murray?
Four.
Councillor Riley's absent. Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Rowan is absent. Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Stokes?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tinley is absent. Councillor Trainer?
Four.
So 26 for, none against, and four abstentions.
Okay, so that's duly carried. Just before we finish up tonight, just as a footnote, this will be the last council meeting for the outgoing editor of the New Reporter, Paul Welsh. I just think on behalf of councillors, we'd like to wish Paul well for the future and wish him and his family every happiness and thank him for the support and keeping us on our toes that he has done during his tenure. But to wish Paul all the best for the future, I think it's only right that we do that. Thank you. Another notice on another issue. As you will know, it's very cold out there tonight. And the headline breaking news is that we have staff shortages for Gridding, so you might get a few phone calls as the night progresses. So you could be in for a busy evening, but do take care of going home. Thank you very much. It's been a long meeting. Thank you.